Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
hallelujah, hallelujah, ain't no grave can hold my body down. He said when that first trumpet sound, he was going to get up out of the ground. So ain't no grave this morning can hold my body down. It didn't hold Jesus, couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. Hallelujah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank him. We thank him this morning. But he's on our side today in spite of us. And he's for us. He's for us. And his word says, if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. We just got to look to him for everything. For without him, we can do absolutely nothing. I'm grateful unto him this morning. I appreciate him. Appreciate all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great, hallelujah, and mighty things. And we're moving right along this morning. Welcome to Jesus in the Morning. I'm your host, Evangelist Barbara Pittman of Freedom Doors Ministries, and I come to you live each morning, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today is December the 4th. Look at this, 2018, 12 months and 4 days, 4 days already into the month of December. And I have some appointments, and I was looking at next Monday, it would be the 10th already. Yeah, time is flying by. Time is winding up. So we're grateful to the Lord this morning, and Minister Shantae was going to come in today to share a message of that. Don't impress me much, but she's out and have training, and so she's not able to do it today, but we're going to take a look. I listened, rather, to After Giving Thanks, coming from John 12, 1 through 3, by Dr. Howard John Wesley. And I believe he's of Alford Street Baptist Church, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to take a listen to him this morning, and we're going right in with his message. And afterwards, we will pray, and the studio will be open, and if there are any song requests, go ahead and send them to me, and I'll get them done. But we're going to listen to Dr. Howard John Wesley. Again, his message is After Giving Thanks, coming from John, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Let's listen.
Your neighbor may know how good God is, but they have no clue how good God's been to you. That each and every one of us ought to have our personal reason why we praise and thank the Lord the way we do. And it's so deeply embedded in me that your evil stare and your snarl on your face and you're giving me that sit-down look really doesn't affect how good God's been to me. And if you allow me to praise him the way I want to praise him, I'm going to allow you to praise him the way you want to praise him. But you can't dictate how I praise the Lord because you don't know how good God has been to me. So if you know he's been good to you, you've got your own reason to be grateful. Thank you, God, for being good to me. Behind all the glory, behind it, there's a story of how good God has been to me. Yes. As we revel in this moment of giving thanks, when you hear reading from the Word of God that I believe challenges us on how we live who are grateful to God, it comes to us in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'm going to invite you to hear a reading from the New International Version of God's Word, John chapter 12, I'd like to read in your hearing verses 1 through 3, and it is our custom to ask those who are physically able to stand with us, and together we reverence the reading of the Word of God, John chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those who was reclining with him at the table. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. That's enough right there. Today I want to talk to you about what you do after giving thanks. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. After giving thanks. I'm going to ask you all to pray with me and for me. I'm a work in progress, and the Lord has been working on me about learning to deal with all types of people. And although I'm growing in my prayer and I'm a work in progress, I'm a practicing Christian, I want to testify that there's some folk that's just hard to get along with. Some people just, I don't like mean people. People wake up angry, always have a bad attitude, a chip on their shoulder, nothing nice to say. I don't like cheap people. You know the friends when you go out to brunch and y'all have one ticket and you pass the bill around and it comes back short because people don't know how to tax and give tips. And they want to argue that they didn't have a Coca-Cola, that was your iced tea. I don't like cheap people. I don't like people who are habitually late to everything. If you know it starts at 9:30, as a grown person, you should know how long it takes you to get ready to be somewhere at 9:30. And you ought to plan appropriately. Church, I don't like folk that have no sense of urgency about nothing. Walk slow, move slow, talk slow, drive slow. Listen, if you ain't got nowhere to go, you need to get out of my way. I don't like takers. You know, folk that have the audacity to ask you for everything, but never want to give anything back in return. You know, come to the potluck empty-handed, get in your car, never put five in the tank. Folk that ask you for stuff that's inappropriate to ask. We do not have a relationship where you ought to ask me to use my car. Goodbye, Felicia. You know, folk that... I have a problem with folk that live online too much, posting all your feelings. I don't trust you. I'm not going to let you take a picture of us together because I don't know where it's going to go. And I told you a few weeks ago, I really don't like ungrateful people. People can have someone go above and beyond what they ought to do, and they don't have enough good sense to say thank you. So I challenged you 2 weekends ago in that sermon, be grateful that if you know God has done above and beyond and exceedingly what God had to do and what God should have done, that within you at some moment there ought to bubble up a thank you. There ought to rise up an amen. There ought to be a hallelujah. There ought to be some lifted hands. That I believe when you know God's been good, at least once a day, your mind ought to begin to think about what God has done in your life, the ways God has made, the doors God has opened, the prayers God has answered, the blessings God has given. And at some point, every day, a true believer ought to be grateful for what the Lord has done. And I pray that this past week, you found some time God thanks. I hope you pause to praise. I hope there's a moment when you reflect and reminisce over what the Lord has done for you. And if only on Thursday at that dinner table with cousins you ain't seen in a long time, you didn't hold back your thanksgiving, your praise, nor your gratefulness for how good God has been, that somebody this week should have known that you know how to give thanks. That's what we did this week. I took the boys on vacation with some friends. And, y'all, we did a big Thanksgiving. We started cooking on Wednesday, and, you know, it takes all day to prep and cook, and got up early Thursday. I was responsible for the turkey, yes, sir. So after the turkey had been brined, because, you know, I know how to brine a turkey, we got that thing right. We made all the side dishes that we sat down to eat. It was a long day. We went around the table naming our Thanksgiving and sharing how grateful we were to God. By about 10 o'clock at night, I was worn out from Thanksgiving. And I did what you're supposed to do on Friday. I slept in. Somewhere, somehow, my youngest son didn't get the memo that Friday is sleep-in day for the brothers. The ladies was up shopping, but the brothers was knocked out. He came knocking on my door, came in, and said, "Dad, what are we doing today?" I said, "We ain't doing nothing today but sitting down." And this is what he said: "Thanksgiving is over that quickly? I know we gave thanks on yesterday, but what do we do today? I know we said thank you yesterday, but what do we do today?" Because he realized that when you're really grateful and really thankful and know that God's been good to you, the day after giving thanks, something ought to brew inside you to say, "What should I do now?" Because Thanksgiving is so much more than a day. Thanksgiving is more than a Sunday shout. It's more than a praise rendered in the sanctuary. It's more than words that come out of your lips. That when you're truly grateful to God, it ought to make you want to do something. That after the giving of thanks should come the living of thanks. The thanksgiving ought to show up in thankful living. That's what the psalmist meant when he sat down in Psalm 116. The psalmist began to think about how good God had been and began writing, "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits unto me?" When I think about the benefits of God and the blessings of God and the provisions of God and the protection of God and God's resources and God's blessings, what should I do when I think about how good God has been? What do you do after you've given thanks? Well, a couple suggestions may show themselves in John 12. In John 12, Jesus is on his way back to Jerusalem. And as usually the case, on his way to Jerusalem, he stops in a little city 2 miles outside of the city called Bethany. Jesus likes going to Bethany. Why? Because he's got some personal friends there. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These are some of Jesus' closest acquaintances. They don't treat him like Reverend Bishop Jesus. They treat him like Jay. They are his friends. And we know Jesus goes to Bethany. We see at least three instances in the Bible. One is in Luke 10. Jesus goes to Bethany and is there. Then Martha begins putting together a dinner party and gets upset because she looks over and sees that her sister Mary is just chilling with Jesus. And so Martha looks at Jesus and says, "Hey, Jay, tell Mary to get up and help me get this thing together. It's not cool that she's sitting there while I'm doing all the work." You know she's a friend, because only a friend can talk to Jesus like that. Jesus turns to her and says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about too many things." Then there's another instance when Jesus is in Jerusalem and Mary and Martha send for Jesus. And they tell him, "Listen, we know you're in Jerusalem, but you need to get yourself back here to Bethany because Lazarus is sick. Hurry up and get back right now." You know they're friends of Jesus, because only friends can talk to Jesus like that. You know the story. Jesus hangs out a few days too late, gets back to Bethany, and Lazarus is dead. And Jesus is met with anger and apathy. He comes back to Bethany, and Martha is furious with him. She runs outside, and she sticks that finger in Jesus' face, and she says, "If you would have come when I called you, this wouldn't have happened." You know she's got to be a friend. Because only a friend can talk to Jesus like that. Jesus is met with Martha's anger, but Mary is apathetic to Jesus. Jesus shows up, and she refuses to get out of her room. She will not leave her bedroom. The door is closed. She wants nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus has let her down. The first trip is in Luke 10. The second trip is in John 11. The third trip is here in John 12. Jesus comes back to Bethany, goes back to the house of Mary and Martha, and this time there's no anger. This time there's no apathy. This time there's no disappointment. This time he is met with joy and excitement and enthusiasm. They throw a dinner party. They send people out. Now the question I have is, how can the same Mary and Martha who one chapter ago met him with anger and apathy now meet him with excitement and enthusiasm? How can the same sisters who were angry and furious now be joyful and excited? How can the same sisters who didn't even want to talk to Jesus now throw a dinner party for him? What made the difference? Well, you got to remember what happens in between the two trips. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And because he raises Lazarus from the dead, anger is turned to excitement. Apathy is turned to enthusiasm now that they know what the Lord has done for them. And in John chapter 11, when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, there ain't nothing but thanksgiving, nothing but hallelujah, nothing but amen, nothing but shouts, nothing but praising going on, because they know how good the Lord has been to them. When you know God's been good, there ought to be some thanksgiving. There ought to be some praise. There ought to be some hallelujah. There ought to be some lifted hands. And now Jesus shows up again. And this time, they realize we've got to do more than just shout. We've got to do more than just wave hands. We've got to do more than just say thank you. Because if the truth be told, God deserves more than a shout. The Lord is worthy of more than Sunday praise. The Lord desires and deserves more from you than simply shouting in the sanctuary on Sunday over his goodness. So right here we see what you ought to do after you've given thanks. Can I press it on you real quick? The three examples are right here. The Bible says that when they realized what the Lord had done and the Lord came back, number one, Martha served. Then when she began to think of what Jesus had done for her, her response was to serve the Lord with her gifts. You got to remember, Martha is gifted in hospitality. In Luke 10, we find out that Martha is an event planner. She knows how to throw a party together. Martha is a cook. She puts a foot in it. Can't nobody throw down like Martha. Martha keeps a spotless house. You know, when the carpet is vacuumed and you can see the lines in the carpet. Martha knows how to put gift bags together and create centerpieces. Can't nobody throw a party like Martha, because Martha is gifted in hospitality. Martha knows how to throw down, and you ain't been to a party till you've been to a Martha party, because a Martha party is a real party, and ain't no party like a Martha party, because a Martha party just don't quit. It's a thing you want to be at. And Martha, when she realizes Jesus has come back, decide what I'm going to do in my gratitude is utilize the gifts I have in a way that serves the one who's been good to me. So she plans a party. She goes out shopping. She cleans the house. She sends out the e-bites. She prepares the meal. She opens the door of her home and puts on a feast for Jesus, because she says, when I think about what the Lord has done for me, the least I can do is take my gifts and my skills and my talents and render them in service to the Lord for all that the Lord has done for me. She says, God's done too much for me and my family just to sit and watch worship and let everybody sing for me and everybody minister to me.
Yes,
and everyone volunteer to take care of my kids and everybody do everything for me. When I think what he's done for me,
all right,
I will serve him,
yes,
with my gifts. Can I tell you what the body of Christ needs most? Some Martha's.
Mm.
Some folk who realize you've been gifted and skilled and talented, and all your gifts, all your skills, all your talents, at some point you ought to be serving the Lord with what the Lord has gifted you with, because you're too gifted and too blessed to just sit in this sanctuary every Sunday and let everybody do everything for you. Everybody got to hold the door for you. Everybody got to walk you to your special seat that you complain about because you want to sit down closer. Everybody got to volunteer to take care of your kids every week in Higher Ground and Crossover and Kid Street. Everybody's got to feed you. Everybody's got to sing to you. Everybody's got to keep the climate open for you. Everybody's got to smile at you. Everybody's got to make room for you. And all of a sudden, you don't realize how good God has been to you, and you ought to at some point take your gifts and render them back in service to the body. Go on, preach, Pastor Webster. How are you serving the Lord? Martha says, I'm going to use what God gave me, and I'm going to use it in service. And this is what I like about it. Number one, nobody had to ask her to do it. She sees the need, and she steps up to do it herself. Let me tell you what hinders the body of Christ. You're gifted and got to be bathed. You're gifted and got to be made chair just to serve. You're gifted, but you won't sing unless you get the solo. Everybody's got to beg you and plead with you, when in essence, when you know how good God has been, there ought to come a moment when you say, I'll do whatever needs to be done. I'll humble myself and use whatever gift if you need somebody to pick up gum after church, I'll pick up gum after church. If you need somebody to hand out water for the 11:30 service, I'll hand out water for the 11:30 service. If you need a volunteer, I'll be a volunteer, because I'm too gifted not to serve. Okay, I knew it was good, quiet. Hal, none of you should have to be asked. Watch this one. This is a good one. She didn't have to be paid to do it either. You know what kills the church? Now, this doesn't happen in little family churches, but in you mega churches with thousands of members and millions of dollars, there's this expectation that every time you use your gift, you should be paid. We were down on vacation, and boys took their PlayStation 4 that I bought them for Christmas last year. They took it down to the house. We react because they want to play on the PlayStation. Now, you need to know, I don't really play a lot of games, but every now and then I like computer games I want to play. I won't name them. It's in your business. And so they had set the games up, and Deuce, my oldest, was on PlayStation 4, and I came down and said, listen, get off for a little bit. Let Daddy play. Let Daddy play PlayStation for a little bit. And this is what he said to me. He said, okay, Dad, how about this? I'll let you play if you buy me the new game that I'm looking for. I said, what? He said, I'll let you play on the PlayStation if you buy me this new game. I said, hold on, you want me to pay to play on a gift I gave you? I gave you the gift, and now you want to charge me to use the gift that I gave you. You're a little slow. You wouldn't have it if I hadn't given it. And now you're telling me I got to pay you for you to use the gift that I gave you in the first place. If it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have the gift. And what hurts so many churches are people who have the audacity to think that God ought to pay you to use the gift that God gave you in the first place.
Yes,
you ought to serve God with what he gave you. God shouldn't have to pay for you to use your gift. God shouldn't have to rent your talent. Does God have to lease your skill set? The Lord says, what gifts have I given you that you are not using in service? Because whatever you do well in the world, you ought to do better in the kingdom. And shame on you if you sit week after week and never serve the Lord. A grateful heart serves. If you like that, you ain't gonna like number two. Martha served the Lord with her talent.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what Mary does, though. Mary, while Martha's doing all that, Mary is in the back looking for some oil. Not just any cheap oil. Her most expensive oil. And you know the story. She breaks it open, pours it on Jesus' feet, and wipes his feet with her hair. She said, the Lord's done so much for me, Martha may share her talent. Mary sacrifices her treasure. She said, I'm going to take that which is most valuable to me, and I'm going to give it to the Lord. Now, when you keep reading, the Bible says that it's about an annual, it's a yearly wage. It's an annual salary. She gives the Lord an annual salary. You're like, that's all you're like, you better not say what I think you're about to say. Can you imagine being compelled to give the Lord an annual salary? What's that, about 130, 140? And whenever you want to give of your best to the Lord like that, watch what happens. Keep reading after verse 3. Because when she decides, I'm going to give all that I have to the Lord, my best, there's a voice that raises an objection. Because whenever you feel compelled to give of your best to the Lord, there's always a voice either in your head or in someone's mouth that tries to talk you out of it. When you feel compelled to give of your treasure to the Lord, there's always a voice that says, you must be out of your mind. Whatever you want to give of your best to the Lord, there's always a voice that says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Whenever you feel compelled to give, there's always a voice that whispers in your ear, you have other things to do with that money. Whenever you feel compelled to give of your treasure to the Lord, there's always a voice that says, student loans. There's a voice that says, trip to Dominican Republic. There's always a voice that tries to talk you out of giving what the Lord has put on your heart to give. So keep hearing, the voice objects, and the voice is a disciple. But make certain you know which disciple it is. It's not Peter, the faithful one. It's not John, the beloved disciple. It's not Thomas, the doubter. It's not Matthew, the tax guy. No, it's Judas. The betrayer is the voice that tries to talk you out of doing what God has put on your heart to do. And you've got to be careful of allowing a Judas voice to talk you out of the sacrifice Judas says, and he says to Judas, leave her alone. She's doing what she feels compelled to do because I won't always be here. In other words, Judas, she senses this is the opportunity to obey what God has commanded her to do. Beloved, don't ever let a Judas voice talk you out of the season of opportunity when God has called you to do something. When God calls you to do something, obey, because great things are down the road. When God tells you to pick up the phone and call her, call. When God says go to the hospital and make the visit, make the visit. When God says, listen, I want you to apologize even though you don't think you started it, apologize. And when I put on your heart to give of your treasure to the Lord, give because amazing things happen when God calls your heart and you say yes to what God wants you to be, to what God calls you to do. And everybody in here knows what happens when God called you and you missed the season. Called a week too late and they were gone. Didn't apologize and the thing never got right again. When God speaks to your heart, don't let a Judas talk you out of it. Martha shares her talent. Mary sacrifices treasure. But then there's a third one there. His name is Lazarus. And watch what Lazarus does. Lazarus, when he remembers how good Jesus had been to him, the Bible says, this is what Lazarus did. Lazarus sat at the table and reclined with Jesus. Lazarus says, you know what? I'm going to sit right here with the Lord. Because not only do you share your talent, not only do you sacrifice your treasure, but the best way to be grateful is to surrender your time. And say, I'm going to give God the time of my life. I'm going to share my mornings with him. I'm going to spend my afternoons with him. I'm going to talk with the Lord in the morning. That what God desires most from you is quality time. Lazarus says, I'm going to hang out with the Lord. Now I begin to ask Lazarus, Mark, why? Why give Jesus your time? Why spend so much of your day hanging out with Jesus? And this is what Lazarus said in response. He said, hey, you got to remember, I was dead. And the only reason I saw this day is because the Lord blessed me with this day. And if the Lord blessed me with a day, I'd have enough good sense to give some of my day back to the one who blessed me with this day. Yeah. If you know this is a day the Lord has made, mm-hmm. you ought to take some of that day and give it back to God.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you all have read or know of John Chapman's five love languages? Gary Chapman, five love languages. Gary Chapman. It's a book that helps you understand how you receive love, like what your language is. And you know that there are five of them. There are words of affirmation. There's physical touch. There's acts of service. There's gifts. And there's quality time. Those are the five love languages. And Chapman says you should identify your one or two because you speak two love languages. Now, here's the problem with being in a relationship with God. God speaks all five. Yes, God speaks touch. God speaks intimacy. Did you know the word for worship literally means to kiss? So that when you worship God, you are being intimate with God. You are touching God, which is why God says, what I want from you is worship. That when Sunday comes, don't you leave yourself at home talking about you tired and you don't feel like fighting traffic and you don't want to sit in the overflow. No, I've been too good to you for you just to sit and not be intimate with me and not worship me. God likes words of affirmation. God loves it when you kneel down and begin bragging on God, to God. God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God, ain't nobody like you. God, you did that daggone thing. God, you're amazing in my sight. God loves words of affirmation. God loves acts of service. God loves it when you say, you've been too good for me just to sit. I will serve you. I will volunteer. I'll be part of the ministry. I'll sing in the choir. I'll work with the kids. God, I serve you. God loves gifts. God loves it at offering time when you open your heart and say, I'll give of my treasure, Lord, because I love you. But above all of that, you know what God wants most with you? Quality time.
Mm-hmm.
What God wants most from you is time alone with you. That's a word of conviction. So often we spend so much more time with BFFs and booze than we do with our God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Lord says. How come somebody who knows I've been so good to you? So when you wake up in the morning, before you reach for your phone and before you turn on CNN, you get on your knees, bow your head, and thank the Lord. I want someone who knows I've been so good to me that in the middle of the day they got to close their door in the office because if your coworker hears what's about to go down, they're going to call HR. But when I think about his goodness in the middle of the day, right then and there, I'll worship him. It ain't got to be Sunday. It doesn't have to be a sanctuary. I can worship God in my cubicle. God says, I want someone who loves me so much that they can't go a whole day without talking to me. They have to read their Bible because I just want to hear your voice. And the amazing thing is that God wants quality time with you because the more time you spend with God, the more you begin to look like God. The more you pray, the more like Jesus you become. The more you read your Bible, the more you sound like the one who's talking. God wants to be close because being close transforms you. I figured this out when I first came to Alpha Street. Met a beautiful couple, Vance and Lois Shaw. They're both about to turn 80, and they've been married almost 40 years. Vance and Lois Shaw, beautiful, beautiful elderly couple in this church. Let me tell you when I first met them. The first time I met them was at one of the church cookouts at Virginia Theological Seminary. And if you all remember those who were there, that was a hot day. It was hot out there. And Vance and Lois Shaw had brought two lawn chairs. And they found some shade off on the side. And I saw them sitting way off in the lawn chairs in the shade. And so as I'm making my rounds to speak to people, I want to go speak to Vance and Lois Shaw. I want to go say hi to them. I want to go introduce myself. And as I get closer to them, they're sitting in the lawn chairs in the shade. And I notice that they've fallen asleep. They're taking a nap together in the shade away from y'all. And Brother Charity, as I got closer, I know something else amazing. They were in lawn chairs in the shade taking a nap, and they were holding hands asleep. And I said to myself, what a wonderful thing. They've been married 40-some years. They still take naps together holding hands. As I walked up closer, Brother Shaw woke up and saw me. He woke her up, and they were still holding hands. I said, what a beautiful thing. You all are this old, been married this long. You're sitting off in the shade. You're holding hands. And he said, I just love being close to her. After 40 years. Can I say even better? So they're sitting there. I'm talking to them. They're sitting in these long chairs in the shade. They're taking a nap. They woke up. They were still holding hands. And then I noticed something else. They were dressed alike. Their outfits were coordinated. Now, you did that when you were 17, 18, 19. But going on 80, married 40 years, they still got up in the morning and coordinated their outfits because wherever they go, they want folks to know I'm with her and he's with me. And we've been together for a long time. And we still love each other and are still so close that we're even dressed alike. But I noticed something else. They're sitting in the lawn chairs in the shade, taking a nap. They just woke up. They're holding hands. They love being close to each other. Their outfits are coordinated. But then I noticed something that I've seen in couples that have been married for many a year. When you've been married for decades, something phenomenological happens in your genetic DNA, that you've been married so long that y'all start looking like each other. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen a couple been married so long, their color is the same, their hair is the same, their facial structures are the same, they walk the same, they're made the same, they've been together so long that they look like they are one? Can I tell you why God wants time with you, and why God wants to talk to you, and why God wants to hear from you every day? Because the longer you're with God, the more you look like God, the more you walk like God, the more you sound like God. God wants your time. And the greatest gift you can give God is to share your talent, sacrifice your treasure, and surrender your time. That's what you do after you give thanks, after the shout, after the praise. So, Lord, I acknowledge how good you have been to me. There's no doubting it. There's no denying it. You've been better to me than I deserve. And I'm not just going to come to church and shout and say thank you. Lord, I'm going to serve you with the gifts you've given me. That one of the great gifts I can give you is to give you my gift back. I've sacrificed my treasure. What you put on my heart to do, I give. No matter how expensive it is, I ignore the Judases in my life who try to talk me out of what God has talked me into. And God, I surrender to you my time. In the morning, I spend time with you. In the middle of the day, you get my undivided attention. Before I go to bed, I want to say goodnight to you. Lord, that the more time I spend with you, the more I might look like you and live like you and be like you. Accept these gifts beyond my thanksgiving. My talent, my treasure, and my time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen again. And the title of this message was After Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving. And I thought it was a beautiful message because of this. When it's all said and done, what is it that we give God? He has blessed us to have food, clothes, shelter, many of us. He has blessed us even with things we didn't deserve or things we really don't even need. He has blessed us. And so when it's coming to Thanksgiving time, we should be giving God thanks. And after Thanksgiving, we should give God thanks. And as he said, whatever talents, whatever gifts you have, you should be willing to share those with the Lord. Because you know what? He shared all his with us. And he's still doing great and mighty things for us. So I just thought that was a beautiful thing. And again, a beautiful message. And I wanted to share it. I'm going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. And if someone has something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. It could be about what the pastor talked about this morning, or it could be something that's on your heart and mind. So feel free to come in. Okay, let's go to this one. I don't know what's going on. This got to give. Where is that? Oh, wow. I only saw two people. Okay, I'm coming at you, Sion. Bear with me. Well, maybe it's not going to do it, y'all. Let's try something different. Okay. All right, I don't think it's going to do it. All right, I'm going to bring Sion in and Baby Kate. Good morning, Sion. God bless you. How are you? Oh, wait a minute. What is wrong with Blog Talk today? Now, Brother Lewis, we didn't go out in the chat. That's a good thing, but the studio itself want to cut up. All right, bear with me, Sion. Let me see what I can do here. Okay, I'm working on it right quick. Sometimes. Okay, bear with me. I'm going to one song while I work on being able to get you into the studio here. I'm not sure what's the goings on, but I got to get that fixed. All right, let's take a listen to the Alabama Girls. Good.
Y'all ready to go to church? Come on, put them hands together. Come on, let's go to church.
Yeah.
Alabama Girls, and heaven belongs to you. She's saying treat your neighbor right, and heaven belongs to you. Don't you give up your fight. Oh, yeah. Keep going, because things are going to come our way that are not always feeling good, looking good, and we just got to keep on in Jesus' name. Keep going, keep going. Don't stop, don't stop. And so we thank God this morning. Sion and the gang said they didn't press the button, and I don't know what happened, but your lights came on in the studio, all three of them, Dot, K, and Sion. So we're moving right along in Jesus' name, and I'm going to pray the prayer of faith this morning because we didn't pray it right away. We went straight into the message today, so we're going to pray the prayer of faith. I thank y'all so much for your prayers. I'm feeling very much better today than I did yesterday. That indigestion had me. But I knew the Lord would deliver me, and I just have to be careful of what I eat and how much I eat. So I went back to Slim Fast for breakfast, Slim Fast for lunch, and a Healthy Choice dinner. And I really didn't eat the dinner because when 5 o'clock come, I really wasn't feeling it. So that was a blessing yesterday to have no real food, you know, solid stuff, just liquid. And so I'm grateful unto him. And again, I thank you for your prayers. And let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done already today. We thank you, Lord, that you're on our side today in spite of us. We thank you that it's you who will never leave us nor forsake us. Father, you will be with us until the end. And no matter what come our way, no matter what we're going through, you're right there. And if we'll reach out to you, you'll reach right back to us. We thank you this morning. We come asking for forgiveness, Father, of all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And though our sins be as scarlet today, we ask that you will wash us as white as snow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse us today from all unrighteousness and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. We thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. Thank you for being on our side in spite of us today. We're grateful that you put our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. We thank you, Lord, that you made a way, hallelujah, to redeem us back to you. We're so thankful unto you today. We appreciate you. We love you. And, Father, we're grateful unto you. Ask that you would heal the sick here this morning. Lord, touch with your finger of love. And, Father, we know that you took a beating for the healing of the nation, and there's yet healing in the hem of your garment. Do it today, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning that you would bless every household represented here, every family member, Father, near and far. Move by your spirit today. Bless those that are coming through the archives, the podcast, God. Lord, move for them in a mighty way. Oh, in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning as we come into this Christmas season, God, that you would move for each of us in a mighty way. You know our heart's desires. You know what we desire to give others. And, Lord, what we desire to give to your house and all of these things in celebration of you giving to us the greatest gift, your son Jesus. Father, hear today and answer our prayers. And we thank you, Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, children everywhere. Lord, we ask that you would move for them and bless as only you can do. You know what's best for us today. Ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people, intercede for others, O God. Lord, bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Bless preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus and obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, we ask that you would bless America and the leadership of America. Continue, Lord. And God, we ask that you would give us our minds back long enough to come to you and make a decision to stay. For, Lord, you have blessed this country, America. And, Lord, we have lost our minds. We've allowed the enemy to come in and take our minds, but bring us back wholeheartedly on our knees in repentance and godly sorry unto you. We ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, bless our family and friends today. Move for them in a mighty way. Bless the segment of Jesus in the Morning. Have your way here today, O God. Move by your Spirit, and we thank you for your word. For it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We ask all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we thank you this morning. We can't say thank you enough. You've done so much for us. And Lord, not only you hear our prayers, but Father, you answer over and over and over again. You won't leave us, and we're so thankful unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So if there's someone else who may have something they want to say or share, press that number one and come in. I heard from a prophet Stevens on yesterday. He surprised me real good with a text, and he said one day soon he would come by and surprise me again on the show. And he spoke the blessings of the Lord upon me, and I was just so excited, you know. And I know many couldn't understand what Apostle DeCoura was saying, but I've been in touch with him almost every day. We talking and sharing the word early in the morning. And so God has just been blessing, and I am so grateful unto him. And he surrounded me with people that believe his word and who will speak his word, which is the truth. And so I'm excited about that, and I just thank the Lord. I'm going to see what the Lord do next week concerning giving, and I got to see what he's going to give me to give to each of you, because I want to give each of you something. And if you will send me your address, email it to me, text it to me, mail it to me, however you get it to me, so that I can get something out in the mail to you. And I'm just grateful unto him. I felt like I was in dire straits at one point, and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm even going to be able to shop for Christmas. Maybe that's not the Lord's plan. But I've asked for what I wanted, and I let go. And so I'm just waiting now to see what it is that he does, because we know he's the one that's going to do great and mighty things for us in this season according to our heart. Yeah, and I'm happy about that. So is there anyone else this morning have something they would like to share? If not, we will get out early today. I will pray us out. And on Friday, I won't be here. On Friday, I have a blood work to go do, and I have an eye doctor's appointment on Friday. So I'm going to take care of that. And listen, y'all pray for me here and pray with me. I have to go and get my mouth fixed finally. And I got to do it. I mean, I can't keep talking about it. I got to be over about it, you know. And the Lord has blessed me with what I need to go get it done. So I talked to the or surgeon office yesterday. So they're going to start the process, and then once they're done, I rush right over to the dental office and the dentist finish up. But what the dentist is finishing up on is real easy for me. I can go in there and get that done, because they will do the cleaning, you know, the deep cleaning. So I will be able to go over and get that done, and that's kind of a simple process, you know, no sticking and all of that per se, so I can get that done. But Sister Dot, I got to go see the oral surgeon, because I just cannot lay back in that chair and let them take nothing out of my mouth, and I'm awake. I'm just numb. I can't see it. So I'm going to see the oral surgeon, and y'all be in prayer for me, because it's important that I get this done, and then I'll be able to go some places and get some things done. I'm looking at Uganda in January. Apostle Turner, she go every year, and I really wanted to go, and so I had just recently asked her about it. And so she wrote me back and told me in January they're going back to Uganda. And so I told her I'm praying about it, and, you know, I just got to see how the Lord moved financially for me to go. So if he opened a door, I'm going to Uganda and see what that's like over there and how the Lord, you know, would use me over there to bless his people. Because everywhere that you go, you know, he have a work for you to do. And, well, I know for me, and God don't just send me so I can take a trip and come back and say, oh, well, I've been to Africa. Nope, nope. I just got back from Japan. Nope, nope. If he's sending Barbara, he's sending me with a message. He's sending me with a gift. He's sending me with work to be done. These are people that he have assigned to me for me to do something for them. He's going to do it through me. I'm the vessel that he chose for that hour. And so that's the way I see it. And if he send me, I got to go work. Now, if he does not send me, that means it wasn't my season and I just wanted to go. And he said no. And I accept what he allowed, because if he said no, that means it's going to work together for my good. If he says yes, it's going to work together for my good. Whatever answer I get, it's going to work for my good, because he won't withhold no good thing from me. Yeah, no, 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 no. And all things must work together for my good. Oh, I feel all right right there. So we thank God this morning, and we pray bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And y'all pray for me. I'm opening my doors to allow some people to come in and eat lunch. And so kind of often if I can get that done. So y'all keep me in prayer on that, because I really want the cooking to kind of just dwindle completely down. But that's just in me, you know, and that's one of the gifts. So, you know, I got to be obedient unto him. And people hungry, you know, and you're able to do something about it, then we got to get it done. Yeah. And so we will. And we thank God. We thank God this morning. All right. Oh, good morning, Alexis. Good morning. I just saw you. God bless you. God bless you this morning. And good morning to Sister Dorothy Goodman. I don't think I said good morning yesterday, Sister Dot. It'll be okay. And Sister Sion and Baby Kay and Sister Michelle and Sister Julie and Sister Rita, Brother D, and Sister Rose Brown, good morning to you. Good morning to you, Shell, and Brother Glenn, Brother Dan, Mike. Good morning to you, Pastor Harrington. God bless you this morning, Sister Linda and Brother Louis, holding that chat room down. I thank God for each of you. Thank God for you. And those that are listening through the archives or the iPods, I thank God for you as well. Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, because many come after the show has gone off, and they take a listen. Some people come home from work, kick their stuff off, start dinner, and while they're starting dinner, they start listening to Jesus in the Morning, and that's a beautiful thing in my book. And we're going to bring Minister Shante back as soon as she can, and have her to do that. Don't impress me much, because that's something she really wanted to do. She just couldn't make it this morning. But I know God is able, you know. And Brother D sent me some stuff over there in Facebook Messenger. And I want to be honest this morning. We need to share as much truth with people as possible, women and men. If we can get to them to share the truth, we need to tell them. And what I tell people is this: you got to go to God for yourself. I mean, you can go to the pastor, you can go to the prophet, you can go to the bishop, a sister, a brother in the church. But if you want real results, I recommend you go to God, because he's going to give it to you his way. And his way is the best way. His way is the way that will bless you. We're just giving entirely too much to man. They give more to the pastor than they do to God, because, see, they can see the pastor. They feel like they can touch him. And so that's not walking by faith. Yeah. When we need anything, we should petition God first. And if he send you to somebody, and you know God is sending you, but make your calling and election sure with this, then you go to them. But there's nothing more a man can do than God. God can do much more. And we need to stop putting all this stock and all of this into these men. Because many of you would have a heart attack, literally a heart attack, if you found out what a lot of these preachers are doing behind the scenes. And so don't give man what God should get. Yeah, I've seen it on Facebook. Don't give a boyfriend what a husband should have. So don't give man the worship and the honor that God should get. Don't pray to man. Pray to God. Man don't know any more basically than you tell him. God know it all. He know what time you got up this morning because it was him that woke you up. He know how you were feeling when you woke up. You know how you were feeling when you laid down last night. There's nothing he does not know about you. He made you before you knew yourself. Man does not know. No pastor know all of that. My pastor don't know how I felt laying down last night, and he sure don't know how I felt getting up this morning. I give people respect in their respectful places, and we should. But I can't give nobody more than I give Almighty God, who have all the power. He's been good to me. And he's the one that can open doors that have been locked. He's the one that can turn no to yes. And when it need to be no and they're saying yes, he know how to turn yes to no. He's the one I went to yesterday when I had really, really super bad, to me, digestion. And he fixed it. Even later on in the day, he told me to make a cup of lemon tea. From the, celestial or something like that. Open that tea, put the water in the cup, heat it up, and drop a bag in there. No sugar, no honey, no nothing, and just sip on that. I promise you it helped me. And then I had hit Sister Michelle up, and she said, Evangelist, get you some lemon water in the morning, and put some lemon in it. I knew that was God, too, because he had already spoken to me about that lemon tea. He's the one that can heal you. He's the one that can fix every situation. But thank you, Sister Linda, this is what you got to know. You got to go to him. Open your mouth and talk to him. Tell him what's on your heart. He already know. Tell him what's on your mind. But when you open your mouth and verbally confirm it to him, he can come in and fix it. And that give more communication with him. More fellowship. And his word says this. I'm like Jesus this morning. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In other words, listen to this. The more communication you have with him, the better you're going to get to know him. And a stranger can speak, but you'll know it's not God and you won't listen. You won't go to a preacher who wanting to fondle all over you and lay with you and all of this, and he telling you, well, I can get this out of you. I can. You're a prostitute. You're a whore. I can stop you from doing all of this. And then she talking about, you sure you can do this? And he telling, that's not God. They'll tell you to bring your hard-earned cash up there now. And your card note is due. You could take your cash and do something for yourself. But they told you to bring it to them because if you bring me your money, this, this, and that, and you go up there and give them your money. Let me tell you something. God was already going to do that, especially if you've been given. What they told you, he was already going to do that anyway because he won't withhold no good thing from you. So we just got to stop being robots to foolishness and letting these people trick us out of our money. And then they tell my church protocol. Let me tell you, it was a pro who called me the head pro. Yeah. I don't have time to follow your rules and regulations over at your house because they done been worshipped and uplifted. They think this their house when it's supposed to be the house of God. So y'all be careful listening to people and linking with folks. And they're doing this online and they got this prayer going. Y'all be careful because even folk praying, they're not praying right. A lot of folks is witches, warlocks. Yeah, devil worshippers, when they get through calling themselves praying for you, then they go work a work somewhere. They burning candles. They throwing salt. They doing something crazy. Devil worship is what it is. So we got to be careful and get to know God so that we'll know not to follow strangers. And if the word says not to do it, it's not what we're going to do. And I know Apostle Paul took this and that and blessed it and this and that, but you got to be careful with the fallen folk who tell me they're giving you a blessed handkerchief. You donate this, I'm going to give that. No, no, no. You send me $20, I'm going to send you a flipped upside down cross and all this stuff. Y'all be careful because that devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. And he come as sheep in wolf clothing. Again, get to know God for yourself. Well, Barbara, how am I going to do that? You're going to pray, and you're going to get in his word. And after you pray, you're going to not be so quick to come out of prayer. Listen, because God will speak to your spirit. He speaks to all of us at some point or another. But people give it all to the prophets. Like God won't speak to you. You're not good enough for him to speak to. He only can speak to me. God will speak to you. You can pray for yourself. Listen to me. Like he hear me praying for you, I promise you, God hear you praying for you. His eyes are in every place. He's beholding the evil and the good. There's nothing going on that God does not know about. I promise you that. So don't let nobody fool you. You got to come to the altar on Sunday because they're praying. Now, you pray in your house. You should have a secret closet that you go into, whether inside your bed, in the laundry room, in the garage, wherever you have your prayer time, that's your secret closet. Get on in there and talk to God and wait to hear an answer back. Many mornings I prayed and I didn't rush right up off my knees and God spoke right back. He's even spoken to me and told me where to go for different things in the scriptures. He sent me to 2 Peter and 1. He sent me to 1 John 4. That was Almighty God. He sent me to Philippians 4 and 19. That was Almighty God. Because during these times, I didn't know these scriptures, what was in them. I knew they existed, but what was in them, I didn't know. And years before I fully come to him, he sent a guy by and we became friends. And later on, he let me know he was really in the church. And this scripture, I want to share this with you. He gave me Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And when I tell y'all, it was God. And ever since that day, that was in the late 80s, that scripture has stuck with me. I live by Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I walk according to Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I acknowledge him. And it's him that direct my path. I don't be wise in my own eyes. I fear God and depart from evil. He come right in and take care of it. You heard me talking about the dental stuff. He come right in and gave information that I can follow. So the doc kept saying, well, let him put you to sleep. Let them put you to sleep. I said, that's what I want. But when I checked on it, it was $600 just to put me to sleep. She was like, what? Yeah. So his timing is perfect. if we can but wait, I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Hallelujah. His timing is perfect. He's got the perfect timing for you. When I tell you today he's on our side in spite of us, it's him that looks beyond fault and meet needs. See, we don't look beyond fault most times. People do something to us, we remember that. We don't forgive and forget. We say we forgive, but many times we say we don't forget. But in our case, even, we have to forgive and forget it and move on. And he got perfect timing. That thing you've been wanting is coming, but it's all in his timing. And when it reached you, it couldn't come at a better time. Yeah, I know you need a few more dollars. He already working that out as I'm talking to you. He's already working the money part out. He's already working the parts out that what you're going to do and what you need. That's already being worked out. He sleeps now slumbers, I promise you. And he sent his word so that his word can perform what he said it would perform. My goodness, I'm dying. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's doing it for us today. For he knows this. Without him, we can't do nothing. I couldn't wake myself up this morning. I didn't have the power to give myself the use and activities of my limb. I couldn't do that. I didn't have the power to think. He gave me all of this today. He gave it to me yesterday, came back and gave it to me today. And even all the things that I wasn't all the way right in or wasn't right in it at all, he gave me grace and mercy. All because he loved me so much. I feel all right there. I'm telling you today, if we'll reach out to him, he's reaching back to us. If we'll talk to him, he'll talk back to us. And if you don't hear a word from him, it's not because he didn't hear you. But when you look up, that which you talk to him about, it'll be already done. Because sometimes God don't tell us his business. We'll mess it up. He just go on and do it. I have thought on things. And God come through off of the thought. I didn't open my mouth. I just simply thought it. And God just simply performed it for me. And he is no respecter of persons. He don't love anybody more than he loves anybody else. He loves us all the same. Oh, yeah. But if I'm communicating with him, and I believe what he said, and I act on what he said, he can do a little bit more for me because I believe what he said and I'm acting on what he said, the truth. Where some don't believe what he said and therefore they don't act on what he said, so he can't do what he wants to do for you. But the just shall live by faith. Now that's how I live, by faith. I don't know nothing about nothing. All I know is God show up and provide. Sometimes I'm thinking one way, he come another. I heard this songwriter say, well, I'm trying to figure it out. God has already worked it out. And that's my case many days because I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. I don't know how. This is the honest truth. But he show up on the scene and he take care of it. My goodness, from Zion. Yeah, he's that kind of God. And I'm thankful unto him. I have one set of cooking for people today and then Thursday, I have another luncheon. I cook for that. And on Friday, I do my appointments and come on home. And Saturday should be a relaxing day, I hope. But the phone has been real busy. I like all this kind of carrying on. Don't y'all think I don't? The phones have been really busy and I like all of that and folk texting and this and that about different things. And some folk needed some counseling, you know, and I couldn't say a word. I just had to sit back and listen. And at the end of it, just pray and let go because they just, what they call venting. They just needed to vent. And I thank God for that. Thank God for that today. And I thank him for all he's doing, what he's done already, and what he's going to do. Yeah. Sion, I do have someone to be with me, Britt, because, you know, she's a nurse. So she's going with me. We're going to talk about that today. They're coming for dinner. And so when she gets here for dinner, we're talking about that today, her going with me for each of those appointments for the dental stuff. Yeah. And so now I don't need her for the eye doctor and do the blood work. I'm good right there. But when I go to the dentist, you know, Shantae had already asked her, Mama, ask Brittany, please, to go with you. Don't go by yourself. I'm like, girl, Brittany can go. And I know she got medical skills as a nurse, but it's going to be Almighty God that see that procedure go right. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be him that go in with. I had to have a procedure, I think that was last year or earlier this year. And I was good until I got there. And once I got there, I kind of felt a little fear trying to creep on me. Hold up, wait a minute. And I, no, I can't be scared going back here. And right when they got ready to come to take me back, I felt the spirit of the Lord. When I felt the spirit of the Lord, I said, oh, go ahead on, Barbara. It's going to be all right. They put me out. You talking about some good sleep. I was a little upset when the anesthesiologist woke me up. Don't do that no more. Let me sleep a little while longer. No, but I enjoyed myself in the sleep. And the procedure they did, nothing was wrong. Yeah, God bless. But you know how you go to the doctor and they want you to check on this. But I just believe in if you seek, you're going to find. Let's don't seek nothing so we don't find nothing. Yeah, and it's all right. But all right, I'm going to pray us out. Let me make sure nobody have nothing they would like to say. I'm coming over there in a minute, Sister Rita. Give me 1 minute. I'm coming on the Facebook. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, Lord, for all that has been said and all that has been done. Thank you, Lord, for the word this morning. After Thanksgiving, Lord, we want to give you thanks all year long because you're worthy. And, Father, we don't want to wait until Easter to say that he has risen. He rose years ago. And, Father, what we want to do is remember that you so loved us, you sent your only begotten Son, that if we believe on him, we won't perish, but have everlasting life. We want to remember that you so loved us. This is what give us this great celebration of Christmas, God, that you sent your Son and born of a virgin, hallelujah. And we thank you today. This morning as we depart, Lord, you heard our petition, and we ask today that, God, you would not only hear, but that you would answer and that you would show your people that you're going to do it for them in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for thinking of us, because who are we that you're even mindful of us? But, Lord, we come to you even with things we don't deserve. And we know we don't feel we deserve them, but God, you yet give them because of your love. And we thank you this morning. As we depart, bless our going out and bless our coming in. And, Father, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And, Father, we ask all of this today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. I got one more song to play, but may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. And I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you. December the 4th, 2018, in Jesus' name. This will be our last song, and after this song, if I can get it to play, we won't be coming back until tomorrow morning. All right, let's see if we can get it to play. Over here and play it through YouTube. All right, let's see if I can play it through YouTube. All right, I think I'm going to have to play it through over here. All right, here we go.